What I've been thinking about in these last few days, in that the weather's really changed, and I know Mike got a new hose and a sprinkler, and I've been out watering the lawn and doing some different things. This is, I guess, what you would call planting season, right? And so it causes me to think about what are the steps involved in learning how to grow something. And so there are, a few steps. I've got seven that I came up with, and I'm sure maybe there are more for you, more scientific, agriculturally minded people. But the first thing I thought about is preparing the soil. And the soil, spiritually, for us, is our hearts. How do we prepare our hearts to receive the promise of God, the benefit of God, with an expectation for it to be fulfilled? Believe me, when a farmer goes out and plows the field, he's looking forward to planting seeds and doing whatever it takes to get those seeds to grow and to produce. He's not just out there wasting his time, right? And so we also are kind of in this place of wanting to prepare our hearts as much as we can. And I thought God just gives us some really simple ways to be able to do it. And one of them is in Psalm 150, verse 6. You can listen along or go with me there, and we'll have a look at it. Psalm 150, verse 6. And I thought this is a cool, such a cool way just to prepare the soil. It says, let everything that have breath do what?
Praise
the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, what a better way to get our hearts stirred up and make it, I guess, fertile, let's say, and receptive to being able to receive the things of God. Also in Psalm 34, not too far away there. And here we are, we're talking about kind of the first step, preparing the soil. So let's just talk about getting our hearts in the right place. You can never go wrong praising. Praising confuses the enemy. Praising is always the right answer. It's the proper response in every situation at all times. I mean, it is always the thing the enemy is trying to steal from people to get their eyes off of something good to praise and give thanks about and steal their joy and get them all focused on the problem and the issues at hand. That doesn't really do a good thing for our hearts. It makes us anxious, makes us upset, we get disappointed, we get depressed, we get a lot of other things. So, hey. Psalm, what did I say? 34? Let's see what that says. Psalm 34, verse 1. Psalm 34 was, oh, look at this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall what? Continually be in my mouth. Now, I understand you're not going to be able to do this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but it's that we can really see and look at the glass, not just half full, but how about growing towards overflowing? Not just, because the negative, let's just call it BS of the world, makes you want to look and perceive everything in sort of a negative way, just the worst case scenario. But as believers, with the expectation of who God is, what we know, we can see the glass at least half full. And with a better, more positive viewpoint, to the point of seeing that expectation come to pass. One of the great ways of being able to do this is to get your heart and mind in a place where you're continually praising the Lord. You're always looking for something good to be thankful for. And another verse is in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, it's so funny teaching these teachings week after week after week. Because I know many times, like we said, a lot of you have called in so frequently, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. And so I really believe God and ask God to have sort of different ways to present a similar truth that maybe you've heard 1,000 or 100 times, so that it maybe lives a little differently for you. And so here we are in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Does that sound like a form of praise? It does to me.
Yeah.
It does to me. That's a very practical thing. You know, you may not be a farmer going out to the field and getting in the tractor and putting the disc behind you and plowing the field. Do you know what? Spiritually, in many ways, it's exactly what we're doing from the moment we get up to the moment we go to bed. Yeah. We are in this environment to really make ourselves as receptive as we can to the things of the Spirit of God. Well, we better move on, or this teaching will be, that'll be longer than normal. Number two. So after you prepare the soil, you disc the soil, you get it all propped and prepped and everything else, what do you normally do? Okay, well, in my estimation, what you do is you plant. You plant. Okay, what do you plant? You plant seeds, right? And what I see that is that we're planting and sowing the seeds of the promises of God's word with what I'm calling supernatural faith. We're planting the seeds of truth. We're planting the seeds of wisdom. We're planting the realities of who God is, what Jesus Christ has done for us, what the future holds for us, what the present holds for us. And we can have tremendous expectation because it's a supernatural reality. The pressure's not on us to perform. The environment is for us to just simply believe. Remember Hebrews 11:1? Now faith is the substance of things not seen, the evidence that they are yours before you receive them. Boy, well, how about that for planting seeds? See? Planting the seeds, the promises in our hearts, in our minds. And then God partners together with us. He works together with us. You think God wants his word to be fulfilled in the lives of his people?
Of course.
Absolutely. So he's not going to, forsake us, so that we now have to figure out how to make it happen on our own, in our own strength. And there's a variety of verses. I'll mention a few. Ecclesiastes 11:6, we aren't going there. Galatians 6:7-8, and 1 Corinthians 3:6-8. All these verses, all these sections of the Word besides others, talk about the seeds that we are sowing in our lives and in our minds. But then we move on to step number three. And, you know, it was so funny, because Mike was telling me a little story, and I think he'll be okay if I repeat this, that when he was a young lad, he and someone close to him would bag up manure and go around the neighborhood and sell it by the bag to people who were doing what, Mike?
Gardening.
Gardening. They were $5 a bag. But you know what they were doing? They were fertilizing, right? Okay. So what does manure or some of these other things do to the soil? It adds nutrients, it breaks down, it promotes aeration and all these other things. It enriches the soil, right? All of that in light of having this environment for growth. For growth. See, people don't go through all these steps and all these gyrations with manure and all these other things so that they fail. They want this theirs to be the best of the best of the best. And our process of fertilizing, I'm calling, is the heart of thankfulness. Mm-hmm. Is that we have so much to be thankful for, so much to be thankful for. How about 1 Thessalonians 5:18? This is not to beat a dead horse. You've heard this many times, but I'll tell you, it is an awesome section of the Scripture. It starts in verse 16, actually. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 17, and 18. It should be printed 10 feet tall and 10 feet wide in bold print. Rejoice always. I'm in the New King James. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And in everything, do what?
Give
thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Oh, you want to know what the will of God is for you? Well, there it is. Mm-hmm. Laid right out there in black and white. Verse 16, rejoice, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. Does that mean you can give thanks in even negative circumstances and situations? Yeah. Well, absolutely. Thanking God for the deliverance. You're not thanking God for the problem, but you're thanking God for all the things you have to be thankful for. And by golly, if you sat down tonight, wrote out a list, you'd be shocked at how many things you'd come up with. It is just absolutely amazing. A heart of thankfulness. Here, we'll go to Psalm 100. We won't sing it. We could, though. Make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise. No, we won't sing it. Unto the Lord. But in verse 4, I believe it is. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, enter into his gates with what?
Thanksgiving.
And into his courts with what?
Praise.
And be thankful unto him and bless his name. There it is in black and white, ladies and gentlemen. Enter into the presence of God with thanksgiving and into the inner court with praise. Praise. And God's given us the perfect way to praise. You know that. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit by way of speaking in tongues. It is perfect praise, perfect worship, and perfect a lot of other things. But it's fertilizing. I hate to say it's like manure, but it's far better than that. So we're preparing, we're planting, we're fertilizing. And then number 4, we're watering. We're watering. What water does? It just saturates the soil, and there's this whole growth germination thing that goes on with seed and water and sunlight. And I'm sure there's some fancy name for it, not photosynthesis, but some other thing. But basically what it is you're saturating the soil so that it will promote this environment for growth. And so what I thought about is we're saturating our hearts with God's goodness and love. Oh, man, what can you ever get enough of that? Oh, no, you never can get enough of that, doesn't seem like. You know, I remember in San Diego, I do remember living there, Mike. But when we would drive out towards Tucson or out to El Centro, there would always be these signs out there along the freeway. And what it said is, food grows where water flows. And, you know, Imperial Valley in Southern California is just abundant with all sorts of fruits and vegetables and melons and all sorts of things. But you know what? Without water, you aren't going to have any of it. It needs water to flourish, to grow, to prosper. And so do we. Mm-hmm. And we have to saturate ourselves with God's goodness and God's love and just absorb it and enjoy it. And if we aren't seeing the fullness of it, then we ask God, show me your goodness. Help me to understand more of your love. Oh, gosh. We're in Psalm, so let's look at Psalm 26. Psalm 26. Oh, boy. Our dog Midnight's so excited right now. I think he wants to be a part of this fellowship. You know? Psalm 26:6. Psalm 26:6. I don't understand what that is supposed to mean. In light
I
of
don't think we.
But anyway, what we are talking about is the goodness of God, and I obviously miscopied that. So let's try Psalm 27. Trying to recover here. Psalm 27, verse 13. Ah, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And God's word is just chock full of testimony after testimony after testimony of the goodness of God and how good God is. And like we like to say and have said so many times, and I've got a little wristband on that says it right here, right in front of me, and the three of us are going to say it. We aren't the Trinity, but we're going to say it.
Yeah.
But God, He is just waiting for an opportunity to show His kindness to us even more so than He already has. So we're preparing, we're planting, we're fertilizing, we're watering. And we're resisting. You know, a lot of farmers spray their crops to resist bugs and all these other things that are going on. But you know what we do? We vigilantly guard our hearts against the attack of the enemy. And, you know, in our mind, in our thoughts, we guard our minds and thoughts with meekness. And I wrote this down earlier, said with bold meekness. That seems to be an oxymoron, but it's not. To be boldly meek, see, to be able to submit, to be able to submit. Just like it says in James chapter 4, verse 7. Oh, yeah, I love this. James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and what?
He'll
flee. But you notice that there's a condition to that. It says submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This doesn't say you just go ahead and resist the devil on your own. You know, it's going to work a lot more beneficial if we submit ourselves to God, have God on our side, and be aware of God's working with us in the situation. And, that makes sense. So we resist vigilantly. And then harvesting. We prepare the soil, we plant, we fertilize, we water, we resist. Obviously, there's a period of time in there for growth, for germination and all these things to happen, because you don't generally harvest the day after you plant it.
No.
That doesn't work in any field. That doesn't work with human growth and development, even having a baby. There's still a period of time for that whole process to take place, and the same with crops, right? But we do get around to harvesting, and that's an awesome thing. And what are we doing? We're seeing the benefit or the fruit of the promises, and we're enjoying it, and we're sharing it. Harvest is not a bad thing, right?
Right.
That's exactly what you want to see. You want to see the harvest. And, of course, the thing that comes to mind probably as much as anything else is Galatians chapter 5, right? Galatians chapter 5, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, right? In 22, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are fruit of, and in many cases, just the fruit and benefit of even having the Holy Spirit in your life. It doesn't say you have to work to produce this fruit. Ken Petty was so funny. A lot of times he'll say, yeah, you know, Darlene and I used to get out of the baseball bats every spring and go up to that tree and pound on it as hard as we could to get it to produce. That's not the way it works. It says the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of my strength, my works, my performance. This is the fruit of the Spirit. And what a beautiful thing You know, it really is.
So we get to enjoy it, and then we get the opportunity to share of the harvest, to share of the abundance. And this goes into my last point about storing. And storing in our day and time, in our culture, is a very admirable thing. It's given people a lot of security in light of, you know, the future and this sort of thing. But yet I am intrigued by some of the verses that we see in the testimony of the early church, where they gave of their pluralities, and they sold their pluralities, and they distributed them amongst those within the body that had need. That doesn't mean they, put themselves in a precarious position. It says that they sold their pluralities, those things that they really didn't need. I mean, how many houses do you need? 5? 10? I mean, I don't know. Anyway, I'm not confronting and challenging you about this. It's interesting to look at what God's Word says about giving and receiving. Because I think this whole process of storing, you've got to kind of look at it in this perspective, I think. You're finding opportunities to fill your barns with plenty, and also opportunities to provide resources for others so that they can grow and develop. You know, they're going to have a very difficult time planting if they have no seed to plant. And so, you know, Galatians 6:10, this is a great section. Vicki wrote a research paper on this particular verse when we were in training, in our seminary type of training. But it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And go back one verse. Look at that. Oh, my gosh. Oh, you talk about sowing and reaping. Verse 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he reaps. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap. You know, that sounds like a promise of God. That sounds like a promise. It is a promise. We shall reap. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all, especially unto those who are of the household. So you want to remember and learn how to grow something? You got to prepare the soil, you got to plant, you got to fertilize, you got to water. There's a certain amount of resistance that goes into it. And I guess that would be called help. And then after that growth cycle matures, then you get the benefit, the blessing of harvesting. And then you got to figure out what to do with the harvest. You ever driven down the freeway and seen these big silos? You know what those silos are for? Storage. And every person in America is always struggling for storage. You can't find enough storage because we're so blessed. We have so much. Well, part of the biblical plan is to learn how to give of that abundance so that the needs of others will be supplied as well. So that's how to grow something, and sure thankful that we have this great Word of God that we can reflect on, meditate upon, and I'm so thankful for you guys helping me in that growth process too. So Heavenly Father, thank you for an opportunity to know you, to grow with you, Father. I pray that even though, you know, we spent some time here really talking, but it's still simple. It's still simple, and we have things that we can relate it to in the physical. So help us to just be our best, Father, and learn and grow, and teach us what you need to teach us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.